So I'll bring the mic over here, Carlos, and we'll head on to you.
Sure, tu vuoi mettere il mic open? Can you hear me okay there? I guess not. Can you hear me?
Yes, that's
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay. November 5th. I usually divide it by sections, so the administration section talks about my activities and also administration. During the last quarter, I attended the following meetings, the monthly NCSAP conferences, as well as the planning committee conference or committee meetings. The monthly committee meetings, we decided to have the conference in person, not a virtual alternative. I also work on the planning committee for the conference and chair the nominating committee. We talk about the ongoing situation with electric vehicle charges or EV charges, the charging stations that President Biden or this administration is working, so we have all of those in the interstate. The states are required to put a plan on how they will build stations every 50 miles in the interstate and not in the cities. NCSAB drafted a letter to be sent to the U.S. Secretary of Education regarding the importance of providing an official opinion on electric vehicle charges to be part of Randolph Shepard program. The importance of this is that if it goes to the private sector, then all the vending machines that we currently have on the interstate will not have business because the cars will stop on the electric charge spaces. So that's one of the main reasons why the blind vendors are working on having the EV charges being considered vending machines. NCSAB put together a working group so they can work with the Department of Transportation and also the Department of Education on this. The Department of Transportation is being very strict on not giving any opinion. They say that it's up to the Department of Education. The Department of Education, on the other hand, never thought that electric vehicle charges will be considered a vending machine. Lawyers keep talking with each other, so they are expecting to have an answer maybe by the beginning of 2023. The National Federation of the Blind is asking the U.S. Congress to increase the OIB funds from $33 million to $295 million. NCACB wrote a letter of support, and I was part of the committee who drafted that letter. The discussion we have there was that many states are sending money back to the federal government and just increasing the OIB funds to $295 million from $32 million could create a problem. So NCSAB is supporting an increase. We are not saying the exact amount, but we are implying that should be also gradual, especially some of the states like Nebraska that we keep getting only $225,000 since the beginning of the program. At the monthly calls with RSA, which only we only had two, A report about a budget request from RSA was mentioned. They were asking Congress for $500 million so the private sector could train the Randolph Shepherd vendors about doing business. This request was not consulted with the planning vendors nor with NCSAB. We learned about that later on. Consumers and NCSAB didn't show any support, and Congress did not include the $500 million in the RSA request. The Deputy Assistant Secretary of Education, Katie Mee, I think you pronounced her last name, mentioned that around $300 million was sent back to the federal government, which was not used from VR services. From agencies for the blind, $10 million went back. In this conversation, when we asked what were one of the main causes, they said that in their conversation with different states, they say that the main problem is the inability to hire new counselors, therefore inability to serve clients and spend the money or invest the money on them. Out of those $300 million, $263 million will be used for innovation and, I'm sorry, for disability and innovation. RSA put that money for different states to write a proposal. We didn't do any of those things because we do have plenty to do already. They don't feel that there will be a big impact, meaning that most states won't write those proposals. So money will be just being sent back to the reserve. The fiscal unit head, David Steele, clarified that state could use VR funds for public service announcements, but not for promotional items. This was a big issue several years ago because we were under the impression we, the state directors, that we couldn't use money for PSAs. That's what we were told at one of the conferences. So when we keep talking to them about where in the law that says, so the clarification was we could use funds for PSA but not for promotional items. In other words, we could not buy a lot of pens or magnets with the SACP logo using VR funds. We used to do a lot of that for different events that we have and hand those around. We still have some of those promotional items, but the last time we had those, the friends of the commission helped us to purchase those. The National Association of Blind Merchants and the National the National Association of Blind Merchants and NCACB also had a call with the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Education to talk about some of those $300 million sent back or $300 million sent back to be used for innovation and expansion of the vending program. The request was for $10 million. Some of the funds, some of the areas that this fund can be used was more micro markets, more vending machines to put a national summit for blind vendors, and training to attorney general staff in regards to Randolph Shepherd program. During the executive committee that we had this last week, the Deputy Assistant Secretary mentioned that that could not be possible. What they will do is send money back to the states only those that submit a realignment request, and they could do what they seen as a priority in this case, work with blind vendors for this kind of request. The National Association of Blind Merchants are not happy about this. They don't feel RSA is helping consumers. But RSA usually don't work with consumers that much. They work more with state agencies. Anyways, the other meeting that I attended was StarTran. I'm in the advisory board now. I attended two meetings. One of the meetings, the focus was about the departure of the director, Mike Davis, and the $20 million grant awarded to Lincoln to build a new multi-modal transit center, which will have ADA compliance. The one we have in Lincoln is terrible. I haven't been there, but I heard bad things about that old center. At the last meeting, we also talked about the increase of some of the rights, or increase of fees for the rights. The Olmsted Statewide Steering Committee, we already have the goals, and we are working on developing strategies to achieve those goals, coming with strategies from the different state agencies has been a challenge. Different agencies don't agree with what we say, and we don't agree with what we say, so we are working on compromising. There are different goals, you know. We have the education area, the employment area, the home and appliances area, and the transportation area. And for each of them, there are different goals, so we have to come up with different strategies for each of those goals. The Homestead Advisory Committee, so I'm on both, the Advisory and the Steering Committee. The Advisory Committee, we are also working on the strategies, so we could recommend to the Steering Committee. But one of the items that we spent a lot of time on was how WebEx is very unfriendly to people with disabilities, and how Olmsted is working with HHS, but also needs to work with other state agencies to make sure that we don't use WebEx, but maybe use Zoom instead. The CIO are the ones who make us look or use WebEx. So what we are working on, or we work on, is to put pressure with the governor's office and the legislators to assure in the future that before the CIO implements something to this magnitude like WebEx, they need to show to us that it's accessible. So that became a big deal. And I mentioned to them the struggle with the Commission for the Blind and Blind Consumers had working on the technology class. The technology class is supposed to be reviewed every 2 years, and this coming January and February will be the 2 years. We are going to start working on that with the Olmsted Advisory Board. Commissioner Kenyon and I attended the NCSAB Folk Conference in San Antonio. The focus from RSA was to emphasize that agencies are not spending money, and that it's our fault that we're not spending the money. I think Brent can report on that later on if he would like to. But at the meeting that the executive committee had in closed doors, state directors were upset because RSA is implying that we are not capable to spend the money, provide services, but they don't say that they are making things difficult for us. So now we are going to be working on writing a letter to RSA explaining to them that throughout the last several years we attempted to make things easier for all of us, but they keep making things difficult for us. So we have a position paper that was written by one of the consultants several years ago, and we will be working on that in the next few weeks. The other area was the electric vehicle charging, which is, I already talked about that. The older blind program, they are talking about motivating other agencies to do what Nebraska did to get more funds for the states. We are, I think, one of the very few states that were able to get extra funds. They talk about technology and also employment. The keynote speaker there was Mike Hayes. I never met this person. He's a blind guy who has a company, and he provides training to state agencies and also to blind job seekers. He was a very, very good speaker, so we are thinking of maybe inviting him to come to one of our state staff meetings. Okay. We also got the RSA response about our fourth quarterly report, and they are asking some few follow-up questions that mainly Carol is working on that. That has to do with the financial area of the agency. Kat also worked on the internal budget projection for 2022. We wanted to know exactly how much we were going to spend to prevent sending money back to RSA, which we accomplished that goal. And by the way, Commissioner Boucher and I were talking earlier about how difficult it is to spend extra money. You know, it sounds easy, but it's very, very difficult to spend the money, especially dealing with all those restrictions. And I want to thank the three supervisors who are here now, because they are the ones who do all that work. I feel their pain, I feel their stress when we say we have this money that we need to spend. And it's hard, especially being with very short staff. Kat also completed the biennium budget request, which was due September 15th. NCBBI is in a very strong financial position. In addition, estimates from RSA for fiscal year 2023, the funds, the grant will increase a 6% increase. During the NCSAB conference, it was mentioned it's exactly, I think, 6.2 increase. Now, that's what the projection is, but as we know, Congress hasn't passed that budget yet. The year-end fit assets inventory was completed and sent to administrative services before the August 31st deadline. Number of clients in all studies served at the end of the period. This is for the whole year, and I make a comparison with the previous year. For OIB was 526. Last year was 489. For independent living after 55 was 93. Last year was 86. For peer clients was 478, last year was 477. So we increased on all the areas, even by one in VR. And again, I want to thank the supervisor for their leadership on this. like I mentioned earlier, and it's not a secret all over the nation, we are having a hard time recruiting staff. So right after the pandemic and being short of staff and still being able to increase numbers on the number of clients that we provide. This quarter we have clients get jobs as administrative services manager, secondary education teacher, automotive service or mechanic, cashier, civil engineer, computer and information system manager, cook, customer service representative, eligibility and interviewer government program, first line supervisor for retail, food preparation, fundraising manager, interviewer, janitor or cleaner, maid or housekeeper, nursing assistant, preschool teacher, printing operator, production worker, proofreader, rental checker operator, receptionist, secretary, security guard, stock clerk, substance abuse counselor, and teachers. In the human resources area, as you know, our deputy director for services left to run the agency in Connecticut, the services for the plan in Connecticut. We will miss Carol. However, we are very happy that she's going to be running an agency and make a lot of positive changes there. The quality of job Carol provided is reflected now, as because of her departure, we have a very smooth transition. The supervisors know what they are doing. Erin Brandyberry is an intern for now, and we seem to be working just fine. It's not easy, but we are not going nuts. Kimberly Sherbach started center training on August 10th. She will be a peer counselor for the Kearney area. Mark Coleman started center training on August 29th, and he will be the apartment resource staff. Alexander Franz started training October 3rd, and he will be the orientation counselor in Omaha. Since 2020, we hired 13 new staff members, and we still have five, almost six, with the Lincoln District AOC, six new positions still vacant. So that's half of the staff members, and it's being a challenge to hire, train them, and at the same time still try to provide good services. Like somebody said one time, our staff is so dedicated that we're still able to drive the car while changing the tire at the same time. We're still recruiting for the technology manager position, the MBE counselor position, the VIA counselor and technology specialist for Omaha, one orientation counselor for the center, the position that Mike Rains vacated, and we are also going to start the process of advertising the orientation counselor for Lincoln. All staff got training on RSA approved policies. Jessica Bartenbach participated in the third NRLI session, the National Rehabilitation Leadership Institute. Nancy Kaufman is participating virtually in the Rehabilitation Teaching for the Blind Graduate Certificate Program offered by the Louisiana Tech University. Her tuition is being paid by a federal grant from ISA. Our fall state staff meeting was held September 27th through 29th in Kearney. Commissioners Belcher and Livingston attended, and staff members were very thankful to see them there. Field services. We continue to be short of staff in several areas. However, supervisors are taking the leadership and taking the extra burden. Nancy and Connie are carrying extra cases, and team staff finish their training and are being trained also getting new clients. Erin Brandyberry assumed most of the deputy director for services, as well as still supervising the North Platte district. We are subcontracting with Doug Boone to help us on the shop at the center until we hire somebody. Several staff members attended the Senior Blind Conference, the Senior Summit, Silver Summit, which was in Kearney. The conference was well attended, and several clients were exposed for the first time to blind role model. Several of the OIB clients were very happy with the conference and started to think about getting more training, even to come to the center. Commissioner Belcher and Livingston attended the conference. We also had a college workshop where parents were invited. The students got very good information about being competent in college and independent. They start thinking about student discrimination and being in control of their schooling and their overall life. Staff continue to be engaged on different boards, committees, attending different committees across the state. With the purpose of finding training opportunities and placement for clients. Some of these are transition committees, Project Search, WIOA local boards, NCEC, BVI partners meetings, retirement homes, clubs, youth programs. Employee OMA, Employee Lincoln Assisting Living, Mutual of Omaha, American Job Centers, Senior Centers, Public Schools, Nebraska PR, Region 22, to mention a few. The Lincoln District had their first GATE program in over 2 years. They had 6 participants and arranged classes so they will have more time in technology. Phone technology is being more complicated than it used to. We have this training scheduled every month. Lincoln also had their first pre-exam group in over 2 years and scheduled more of these sessions once per month. Lincoln is working with the students at NCECBVI, and they are working with the teachers to support their goals. Their first few sessions have been related to hygiene and how this is critical to develop friendship, networking opportunities, and employment. Omaha staff have participated on transition meetings with special education directors, TBI. They also attended Parents Information Night focused on transition. Furthermore, they are participating on several job fairs. The Omaha District had partnered with the Mutual of Omaha to provide a training on the importance of accessibility. This event was held on October 6th. We contracted with Jonathan Russ to provide this training, and Connie Daly stepped in to help as Nancy had to take vacations. It was noted that their work impacts applicants and existing employees that might start losing their vision. Connie mentioned that there were at least 270 participants at the conference. Some of the comments on the chat were that they were recognizing the importance of the training and that accessibility starts from the ground up. Crystal presented at the panel at the UNK with a panel on ADA awareness. We are contracting with JP&K with Jessica Bishop to administer the WinnerFest program. At the